Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. Hello and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the founder and CEO of Church Answers.
This question is asked so often, and it reflects two things. First thing it reflects, and let me give the question, how can we make prayer more present in our worship services and in our corporate settings? Mm-hmm. We hear that again and again. So number one, it reflects an incredible desire
of
church leaders, which is a good thing. Number two, it also reflects a dearth of practical application. How can we make it happen?
Which is not a good thing.
So we're going to talk about both of those. I really, really am encouraged because we are seeing more and more of prayer becoming primary in the corporate settings, the worship setting and other setting. I'm always encouraged that Vander Blumen Search Group is our longest term sponsor.
Yeah, Vander Blumen Search Group is the premier pastor search firm dedicated to helping churches and ministries build great teams. They've helped thousands of churches just like yours find their church staff and are uniquely geared to help you discern who God is calling to lead your church. You can find out more about Vander Blumen Search Group by visiting westaffthechurch.com.
Once again, as we talk about these issues, we're talking about things that we really get from the continuous feedback loop. We talk, you know, more and more people know some things about us, Jonathan, at episode 518. They know some things about us personally.
They know a lot of things about us after 500 episodes.
And they know that It Depends is one of our favorite responses. And they also know that we have a continuous feedback loop. We've talked about it again and again. Millions of people at TomRainer.com and at Rainer on Leadership and our sister podcast, Revitalize and Replant, Church Answers, we're just constantly getting feedback. And so what we will do for you listeners today is we'll talk about seven ways churches make prayer central to their worship services. Now, you listeners, please do me a favor. It is very possible that you will have something beyond these seven. We'd love to hear about it in the comments.
It
is not an exhaustive list, but it is a list of the most prominent themes that we have heard from churches around primarily North America.
All right. So first off, they stress the priority of prayer. I mean, it's an intentional thing that churches do.
You know, what churches do evangelism, those that are intentional about evangelism? What churches have deeper discipleship programs? They're intentional about a process of discipleship. What churches have corporate prayer at the center of what they do? Churches where the leaders are stressing the priority of it. And it can't be a one and done. This reminds me of a church that I went to many, many years ago. To tell you how many years ago, it was right after the release of my book, High Expectations.
Ooh.
So that's many, right, many, many years
the
ago.
The first cover or the second cover? I see two of them right there.
I can't turn. All right.
It'd probably be the one on the right because it's got the old B&H logo. So.
Okay. So the book has just come out, and someone said, you got to come to our church and talk about this. So I did, and he said, I'm going to start doing this immediately. And I said, okay, that's good, whatever this may be, High Expectations. And so he introduces me, and he says, now I want to tell y'all something. I have higher expectations of you as church members.
Yes. That's not how it works. It's part of it, but that's not really the
And then it was
gist.
Over. He said, you think we're done? I mean, you think we did okay on that? No, not really. You can't just say one time we expect more out of you because people are looking at you like, huh? It has to be a lot more than that. Same thing with prayer. You can't just have a one and done. It has to be persistent. It has to be something that is a passion for you. Persistent, passion, and pugnaciousness.
Yeah, the three P's of Tom Rainer.
Yeah.
Tom P. Rainer, not Tom S. Rainer.
Yeah.
Right. Number two, they have a designated time of corporate prayer with clear guidelines. Don't see this much.
No, you don't. So it's time for prayer in the corporate worship. The pastor or some other leader gets up there and says, we take this time very seriously. It is not just an PS or an appendage in the middle of the service. It is something that we take very seriously. So now we're going to pause. And during this time, you may just want to pray where you're seated. You may want to come up front and kneel and pray. You may be a part of a small group or community group, and y'all may want to pray together. But we are going to just designate this time of prayer. The pastor is going to be in front, and if you want to just pray over him before he preaches, that is fine too. And oh, in addition to that, here on the screen are the things that we need to be praying for this week. So they have guidelines on how to pray, and they have specifics on what to pray. And they're on the screen during the prayer time. That's pretty intentional.
That excites me just hearing you talk about it.
It is really, really good.
So do y'all do that at Church at Spring Hill?
We do that at Church at Spring Hill, and other churches have done it as well. Yeah.
I like it.
By the way, before this is over, we'll be talking about Pray and Go, which is a resource we have. I'm beginning to see churches that had forerunners to Pray and Go praying over those who are going. So we'll talk about that as well.
All right. Number three, they share stories of answered prayers.
Think about announcements. Think. What do you do with the announcements? Let's talk about one of our ministry partners, Pronouns, for just a minute. Video announcements. So what is Pronouns? What do the church usually ask Pronouns to do? Give announcements about events coming up, talk about the calendar, talk about emphases. What if you ask Pronouns, or what if you made it during the announcements, to share in this particular service how God had answered some prayers in the lives of members, and they can be submitting that information to you. So what if the announcement time included, and maybe you do it once a month, included an answered prayer time? Instead of we're just announcing activities, now we're announcing the activity of God, and that becomes even more powerful and a greater emphasis on prayer.
Exactly. All right. We talked about corporate prayer with clear guidelines. We also have number four here. They provide prayer guides in the worship folder or bulletin.
Yeah.
I guess that's for you to take with you during the week.
Exactly. An old traditional method in many churches, in our denomination and others, were to give the missionary birthdays.
Oh, yeah.
You remember those?
In Open Windows.
Yeah, in Open Windows.
WMU has it in their Missions Mosaic stuff and everything.
We've moved away from it just because it really had become the way that we've always done it instead of an emphasis. But the purpose of those were, hey, Jonathan Howe is a missionary to Uganda. And he and Beth and their four kids, here are their names. It's Jonathan's birthday, so we want to concentrate on praying on Jonathan today.
Yeah.
So that would be a prayer guide. Well, more and more churches are providing not only missionary prayer guides, but needs of the church, needs of the community. And I know some churches that say, this Monday, would you pray for? And then they say, this is the area that we need to pray for. And usually, typically on Saturday, they say, will you pray for our pastor who will be preaching tomorrow?
Yeah.
And that's usually part of the Saturday. So you can put it in the folder. You know, we still don't know if it's a worship folder or a bulletin. I guess it depends on what age you are, if it's a worship folder or a bulletin.
Bulletin.
Shows that you have an older mindset because it's a bulletin.
Have we met?
Yes.
Yeah. On this too, one thing I like to see, and our church in Alabama did this, and I think one of our churches here locally did it as well, where they would list another local church to pray for in the area.
I love that.
Isn't that great? It shows that we're on the same team.
Yes. And this is something that you're doing that's influencing churches. The Sunday we pray for. Jonathan said,
what am I doing?
You needed to look at Jonathan's expression. The right eyebrow just raised. And he said, what am I doing? Jonathan is responsible for collecting the pray for that we do on Sunday for our church. And there's a place that you can submit.
Yeah. The bottom of every Sunday post,
we
have a thing where you just click here to submit your info for your church.
I'm glad you said that, because every now and then I'll get some on social medias. How do we get us in pray for?
It's right there on the post.
Right there on the post.
Read the post.
Read the post. Go to the Sunday post, and you can put your church's name in there too. Is there any particular way you select those that come in? Is it first come, first serve? Is it
pretty much? It's just whoever sends in stuff and has enough information that I can make a post.
Some of them have a dearth of information.
Yeah. So if you give me, you know, just name and date and nothing, I can't really create. You know, I'm not God. No creation ex nihilo here.
And sometimes I know that you'll interrupt it when there's a special need.
When
Hurricane Michael.
Yeah, we had a hurricane. We've had churches that we hear about that have burned down or flooded or
shootings.
Things like that. Shootings. Yeah. We always try to be attentive to that and remind people about that and be mindful of those.
Well, I have been pleasantly surprised at the number of churches that use our Pray For on their websites and in their church bulletins. And it's a Pray For item. Yeah.
And you're free to use this.
Yes. That's what they're there for. As a matter of fact, Lifeway posts the Pray For as well.
That was kind of one of the neat things. In the old building, I used to see it more often.
Yeah, because we had
monitors everywhere. And you would walk through the halls and you would see the information from the Pray For the next week.
Yeah.
And I was just like, that's really cool.
They're picking it up.
So sometimes I would, I'm kidding. Put things in there. No, I'm kidding. I wouldn't do that.
You're not putting fake churches, are you?
No. Akeem's not pastoring anywhere yet. So, all right. Number five, they have visible manifestations of prayer.
Okay. What that means is you see people praying. They may be huddled together. They may be the pastor kneeling and people praying over the pastor. But the thing about it is, you know that people are praying during that time. You use the word manifestations and sometimes people get a little spooked out, or is this weird or something like that? No, it's just, during this time that people are praying. In my church, when it's time for prayer, I would say, I'm just guessing right here, 50% of the people remain seated. And they pray where they are. 50% get up. Some of them go to the front and kneel. Some of them pray over the pastor who is preaching, which is usually Jess. It was me last week, but it's usually Jess. Some of them go into their community group. Two of them go into their community group and pray. And then we'll have two or three people that will go to the prayer wall. The prayer wall is
it's a
wall with prayer requests. And they go and look at them and pray over them. And so you see people moving toward prayer, you see people praying. That's part of what makes corporate prayer as dynamic as it is. Many times we think of corporate prayer as the pastor leading something, then everybody else being silent. This is actually people moving toward prayer. That's the manifestation that often encourages people to pray. So that's, by the way, these are not mandates. These are not perfect stories. These are examples answering the question, which is commonly asked, how can we make corporate prayer more central to our worship services? And by the way, before we get to the end of this, not just a shameless plug, but something we're really excited about. We're going to be talking about Pray and Go as well. So kind of hang on there.
On the visible manifestations of prayer.
Yeah.
A lot of people, they have very traditional, and by traditional, I do mean we've always done it that way before, but not like any, like the traditional worship sense, but just very rigid church structure for their worship service.
Uh-huh.
So pastor, maybe we need to pray more. How does he go? I mean, is it just the whole leading change type checklist thing where you start just getting people? I mean, you get up there 1 week and just say, we're going to spend the next 10 minutes or 5 minutes in prayer. Sometimes people will kind of freak out about that.
Yeah.
Because, well, this is the offering time. This is not time for prayer.
We shouldn't be praying like that.
We skipped a hymn this week because of this. How do you coach him to work through that?
Well, it's the eating the elephant principle. You begin to talk about how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time. I was talking to son Sam about these multitude of thoughts that we have for Church Answers, and he missed the virtual staff meeting yesterday for good reason, and so he called me up and said, What I miss? I said, we're thinking about this. What is this? He said, Dad, let me just tell you something. Move incrementally. You mean eat an elephant? Yeah. Move incrementally.
Yeah, I wrote that book.
What was the name of the book? Leading the Established Church. Mm-hmm. It had some of the same principles there. It's one Sam wrote. He was saying to the same thing. Our audience really likes what we're doing. So let's be careful that we just don't throw everything out at one time and go in another direction. I was, side note, excuse me, I'll come back to prayer for just a moment. I was with a person recently that basically teaches leadership principles, mm-hmm. and he's transforming his whole company all at once. He'll probably do all right, but I was holding my breath, thinking about, okay, that's probably not my MO on this. I would be more incremental. So let's get back to your question. So you have the pastor that wants to have more dynamic prayer. So you have the pastor up there, and perhaps instead of saying we're going to change everything, the pastor says, folks, I really want us to take prayer more seriously. look, we have a liturgy, which is fine, but sometimes liturgy and routine can lead to routine. And so let's talk about it for just a moment, and maybe just 30 seconds of let's take it more seriously can lead to another step and another step. Yeah. So I would say be incremental, Pastor. Don't do dumb things.
Yeah, and to help with that, preach on prayer.
There you go.
And make it maybe a part of your sermon. You know, instead of preaching for 38 minutes, you preach for 33, and you take 5 minutes of that for a time of corporate prayer.
I wonder if pastors have ever done this. It's just thought.
Okay.
It came from you.
Oh, boy.
Just then, it came from you. I wonder if pastors, let's say they have four major points in their sermon, and they pause after one and say, let's reflect on this a moment. Let's just have prayer over this one. And then that causes the congregation not only to pray, but they also are more focused on the message.
I've seen that done, maybe not exactly like that, but I have been in, I'm trying to place it. I know I've been in a sermon or service like that.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to remember.
You wouldn't want to
where.
Do it every Sunday, but
no.
it would focus on prayer, and it would focus on the major thrust of the sermon. Just a thought.
Well, it's kind of like whenever we do the Lord's Supper.
Yeah.
In many of our contexts, where you have a time of reflection before, and maybe you sing a song after each part or whatever it may be, it's broken up by these moments of personal prayer and personal reflection.
Exactly. Exactly.
Huh. Okay. All right. Number 6, they pray to send people out from the worship services.
That's a dual reminder. That is a reminder of the power of prayer, and it's a reminder that when you leave the church service, you're not leaving the church, you are the church. It can get cliche. The church is leaving the building, going to the, you're leaving.
You're now work, entering your
you're
mission
in
the, field.
Entering your mission field. It can be cliche, but just a reminder. On occasion, not every time, but on occasion, when you are leading a service, Pastor, on occasion at the end of the service, say, here's a reminder for you. You are about to go into a mission field. You are a missionary now, and we want to pray for you this week and maybe give them some things to do. Take this invite card with you. At our church, we say, take a loaf of bread, because we take Panera, and we say, give this to your neighbor. So send people out from the worship service as those going into the community, as missionaries, as people who will be on mission instead of just a cliche.
And this is a great time to be talking about Pray and Go. So
okay.
Pray and Go. Talk to us about that. I know today is the last day to get in on the kind of the introductory price of Pray and Go.
I've got to tell you, it's certainly one of our resources. And my fear is I'm making a pitch. And there may be an element of that, but it's more than that. As we have studied churches across North America and the world, we began to see something in some churches. And basically, it was people going out in the community and praying over homes, not knocking on doors, but praying over homes and just leaving some kind of contact, like a door hanger, and saying, we were here, we prayed for you. If you need anything, contact us. And so we took these forerunner churches and came up with a instructional series on how to do that in your church. And it's, boy, is it powerful. It's just so powerful. It combines the Great Commission with the power of prayer. And it's not just we love Invite Your One as that spike type of outreach, but this is ongoing. This is something that you can do 50, 45 weeks out of the year. And I could say so much about it, but it's to get your people praying in the community. They physically go into the community. They pray over homes. They go out two by two, usually Sunday afternoon, but nothing about that one. They go out and then they pray over homes, and then they report back. I have churches that are saying they have digital boards of all the streets and the homes that they've covered. Some of them have done it manually. And it engenders excitement, but it's something that the church can do year-round continuously. One of the problems with many outreach methods is they come and go. They come and go. They're spike and then gone. Or there's a lot of memorization, or there's too much confrontation. This is something that requires a modest effort on the part of the church members, but has a monumental impact on both the community and the church. And yet, you did say, because we really want to get this to as many churches as possible, that we're reducing the price by $100 through this period. And is this the last day for the introduction price?
Mm-hmm.
So just to let
you. Email list. They've heard about it the last week or so.
I bet they have.
We had the webinar last week, but today's the last day.
Okay. I guess I'm a little excited about this resource.
I am too. And it's something that we did at my church, not exactly Pray and Go because it wasn't out about a year and a half ago. And we did it at my church. We didn't have the door hanger. And I think that's a big element.
Yes.
Because I enjoyed going out and praying for my neighbors in my neighborhood.
You didn't leave
it. They didn't know it.
They didn't know it.
And I wasn't able to follow up with them and that kind of thing. So that's a big element. It's one thing to pray for somebody. It's another person thing to like tell somebody you pray for and ask them how you can pray for them.
And it puts the ball in their court.
Exactly.
So if they really want to contact you, they can.
Yeah.
Oh, find out more.
All right. Yeah. TomRainer.com/prayandgo.
Or it's on the link below here.
At the website. So number 7. They have people pray during and before the worship services. I know a lot of churches do this.
Intercessory prayer that takes place, some of it for the entire worship service, sometime before the worship service, sometime during the sermon only, but a volunteer group of people that are praying. And you need to make that known.
Yeah.
You just need to make known we got people praying during this worship service.
I think our deacons every week pray over our pastors before they preach.
And that's the case with our son, Sam.
Yeah.
Sam tweets out a line from a deacon prayer every Sunday morning. It's kind of neat. These are 7 examples, Jonathan. This is not an exhaustive list. Let us hear from you if you have other ways that you're doing corporate prayer. It's prayer during the corporate service. Remember, Pray and Go, the big introduction of it ends today. Excited about that, but more excited of anything that you have your churches praying.
And we've also, just a few episodes ago, 515, we talked about 5 highly effective ways to enhance corporate prayer in your church. A little bit of overlap with this, but not quite the same. So do check that one out as well, 515. Go back and listen to that, because that was really more about exactly what to do and really how to boost prayer in your church as well.
And coincidentally,
a lot of talk about prayer here.
Coincidentally.
Yes.
I just, before you came in to record the podcast, got off the phone with Jason Allen, talking to him
about
how things are going at Midwestern.
Yeah, blowing and going up there.
They still are
amazing.
Blowing.
Amazing.
Yes, they are.
And as always, today's episode is sponsored by Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Be sure to check out their Doctor of Ministry program. The DMIN is an advanced degree preparing students for leadership in local churches and denominational service. It's also fully attainable in hybrid format, which means you don't have to move to Kansas City to pursue a degree, even though Kansas City is a great town.
Yes.
But you can learn more at mbts.edu/DMIN, even though the airport is...
Yeah, I know how you feel about the airport.
Everybody that follows me on Twitter knows how I feel about the Kansas City airport.
Yep. Maybe they'll make improvements in the future.
They're building a new one.
Oh, a new airport?
Best news I've heard all year.
A whole new airport.
A whole new airport.
That's probably what they needed to do.
Yes. Yes. Like 30 years ago.
Well, at least they're doing it now, Jonathan.
Yes. So...
Well, thank you again for being with us at Rainer on Leadership, episode 5118. This has been one of those that I'm really passionate about. We talked about Pray and Go. We talked about that resource. We talked about different manifestations of prayer and corporate worship. This is a great movement that's taking place, folks. We'll continue to talk about it more at Rainer on Leadership.
Be sure to check out the brand new study from J.D. Greer, Gospel Above All. This 8-session Bible study will give you a fresh perspective on the supremacy of the gospel over the trappings and temptations of modern society. You can lead your group to a greater awareness and practice of gospel culture, gospel mission, gospel renewal, and gospel unity. That's Gospel Above All from J.D. Greer. Thanks again for joining us here on Rainer on Leadership, a proud member of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or in your favorite podcasting app, and join us online at TomRainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.